JC2S, Part 1. Number 20B.
All right, so we go on here. And under the marginal heading, corporeal changes, so we're going to learn about that science that governs changes. The elements and function of the physical body and of the physical universe will change as mortal mind changes its belief. What is now considered the best condition for organic and functional health in the human body may no longer be found indispensable to health. Moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. Neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control. And man will be found normal and natural to change mortal thought, and therefore more harmonious in his manifestations than he was in the prior stage which human belief created and sanctioned. All right, so let's take that part of the changes. So we see, and we've already talked a bit about this, how this big point now, how that this principle God comes to us and then overturns all the elements and functions of the physical body and the physical world will change. So you see that that science which is governing changes is governing changes where just those basic building blocks of science, you see that this is the principle is mind tone, that those basic building blocks of the universe are going to change. That the basis of a principle or the basis of a science, its elements and functions are going to change. And therefore, they're going to change how? We've seen now what are the elements and function of the physical science, or she calls this physical body, that the elements, the building blocks of the traditional science are what? What would we say? Yeah, matter and energy, all right? So therefore we would say that the traditional building blocks of life would be, yes, atoms, huh? Molecules to atoms. And therefore, what is the component of an atom? What is an atom made up of?
Energy.
All right, energy. What type of energy?
Electrical
energy. So we see, therefore, that the elements of natural science, which we have been reduced down to the basic elements from a molecule to an atom. We see then that an atom within its nucleus has a proton, and a proton is a positive electrical charge, isn't it? And a neutron is just neutral. Then around this nucleus spins an electron, and that electron is a negative electrical charge. So really the basis of the atom is electricity, which we know Mrs. Eddy calls electricity. I have quotes. I didn't bring them to class. But she calls it what? The excess of mortal mind, the excess of materiality, friction, duality. That's electricity, isn't it? So you can see that the basic elements of physical science are based on duality, on friction. And she says that the basis of science, which is friction, duality, called electricity, the excess of material reasoning or sensuous reasoning, that the Christ idea is coming and changing the physical science from its physical basis. And it will, in doing that, it's going to change its elements. That the building blocks of the universe will no longer be considered atoms with based on electricity, on duality, but there will be an attenuation, as we will see. Even today in the world, they talk much more in terms of metaphysical concepts. There was an article once, I wish I had it with me, but it kept reducing the elements of the universe down to its basic building blocks. Excuse me. All right, so I was telling about this article before we stopped that I had read, where it was reducing the building blocks of the universe, you know, down to atoms, as they do. And then they kept saying, but it keeps disappearing, even the atoms. They keep finding even something more basic than the atom. And finally, the article brought out, well, that there are just immaterial laws which are the basis of the universe. Quite good. See, already more metaphysical concept to the basic building blocks of the universe, because remember we saw that as the physical science comes from a physical explanation of itself into a mental, it has matter and energy obeying mathematical laws. And mathematical laws are metaphysical. So when matter and energy begins to obey mathematical laws, as they see, it's already beginning to head more towards a mathematical basis. And this article said, well, they think that only laws really are the ultimate basis of the universe, not things. So it begins to attenuate into the second degree until finally we see, yes, that laws are the basic building elements of the universe, and that those and that ideas obey these laws of being. And so here under principle mind, that mind's laws are the basic building blocks. And those and what are obeying those laws are ideas, or and the science of ideas. So we know then that the elements of our system of reference are based on ideas, the building blocks of being, which are an image in mind. And we know that that one can build a science on ideas, see, a principle mind. One can build a principle on ideas. One can build a science on ideas. Because ideas operate very exactly, spirit, don't they? They operate very definitely. They operate very absolutely, principle. They operate eternally as life. They operate in their ideal form as truth. And always complete is love. So we see that ideas always obey scientific criteria insofar as they operate according to law, they operate according to order, they operate according to rules, they operate according to system, they operate according to method, they operate according to form, and they operate according to plan. We can see that. We know that from our work. So it isn't that ideas as the building blocks of the universe are airy-fairy. On the contrary, they're natural. Mrs. Eddy would say, Christian science is natural. They're the natural building blocks of the universe because, as she said, all is infinite mind and it's infinite idea, and you must fight it out on this standpoint. And she showed us already in the main tone of mind that all is mind and its idea, that mind is one and all-inclusive, including noumenon and phenomena. So you see that she's showing that the whole basis of this mind, of science, of God is mind. That mind which is one and all-inclusive, which is mind in its idea, and that mind's ideas are the basing building blocks of the universe. They would have to be from that standpoint, from the spiritual standpoint, that they're very tangible. They're the only substance. They're the only tangible thing. Because mind creates ideas, and when we saw that those ideas have substance, they're definite, they form a system, that they have method, they have form, and they operate within a plan. So again, the necessity of realizing, as Mrs. Eddy said, that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, and we must know this definitely to go on in mind science. So therefore, we see then that that this science is based on the elements of mind, which are ideas, and yes, and she brings out then in this point that ideas are not less scientific because they depart from the physical basis, she showed us. On the contrary, it's the physical basis that is based on human belief, and when it lacks organization to support it, it's going to be gone. So the physical is no basis for science. It's just a belief. So ideas are scientific because they rest, she says, on truth, the principle of all science. And then we've also seen that ideas lend themselves to the synonymy principle, that ideas can be analyzed into what they are and what they mean, and that they also can come into a synthesis, into a combination, into a calculus of ideas. So we see then that ideas as the basic building blocks of the universe are very substantial. All right, so this is then what is indicated here, that the elements and functions of the physical body and in physical science then will change. Don't worry, the Christ is going to cause this change as mortal mind changes its belief. So what is now considered the best condition for organic and functional health in the human body may no longer be found indispensable to health. What does that do to medicine if the foundation is elements are ideas? What does it do to the human body if the elements are ideas and not atoms in matter? You see, it will change. And as Mrs. Eddy says, it takes on a diviner form according to its states and stages of consciousness. All right, so here she shows now coming out of the third degree, a first degree of a physical condition, where she was talking about the elements and function of the physical body changing. And then coming into a second degree here, moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. As if saying, okay, the Christ is at work. It's taking us out of the first degree explanation of the physical for science in the body. It's taking us into a second degree, where she shows that by saying moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. And now finally into a third degree. You can hear it where she says that neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control. It takes everything back into God's control. And man will be found normal and natural. Again, trying to bring out the normality of science. To change mortal thought, and therefore more harmonious. So there's the opposite of mind, to change mortal thought, and will be found more harmonious principle in his manifestations than he was in prior states which human belief created and sanctioned. Wonderful. My, what she's packing within just the subtone of mind here. I think you may begin to get the feeling I had in doing this principal tone it has so many, just with mind here, bringing out so many big points. Then we go on and give another change. She shows some more changes here. She talks then about how as human thought changes from one stage to another, from conscious pain and painlessness, from sorrow to joy, from fear to hope, and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestations will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense. He will enter the third degree. Reflecting God's government, man is self-governed. When subordinate to divine spirit, man cannot be controlled by sin or death, just proving our material theories about laws of health to be valueless. All right, more points about the change that is going on. Then this point here at time the time and tide, the seasons. Now she's going to talk about how the earth will change. The seasons will come and go with changes of time and tide, cold and heat, latitude and longitude. Now, and here it says that the agriculturist will find that these changes cannot affect his crop. So, therefore, she says the seasons come and go. They will have changes also. The seasons are going to change in relationship to time and tide, cold and heat, latitude and longitude. They're not going to remain the same as belief changes. And she says, as this change goes on in the seasons, she says, it won't be such that it will disturb the agriculturist. The agriculturist will find that these changes cannot affect his crop. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. So it says that even though we won't recognize the seasons hardly anymore, that they're going to change. I think we already feel that and see it happening. That the seasons in relationship to time and tide and cold and heat and latitude and longitude. Now, seasons in relationship to the agriculturist, we know then that the seasons determine seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. According to those cycles of time, do they sow and reap? But she says that will change, but it's not going to affect the agriculturist. You know, she talks about that in that subject of seed time and harvest, doesn't she? Where I thought I had that. Well, anyhow, she speaks, in Unity of Good, Seed Time and Harvest, where she says that, shows that it's going to be mind that determines the seasons for sowing and reaping, for seed time and harvest, not the seasons themselves. The seasons won't determine it, but mind is going to determine it. She says, Jesus required neither cycles of time nor thought in order to mature fitness for perfection and its possibilities. He said that the kingdom of heaven is here and is included in mind. That while ye say there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest, I say look up, not down, for your fields are already white for the harvest, and gathers the harvest by mental, not material processes. The laborers are few in the vineyard of minds, sowing and reaping. But let them apply to the waiting grain, the curving sickle of mind's eternal circle, and bind it with the bands of soul. So she says, it's going to change from when the seasons determine sowing and reaping, through the retranslation, and put it back on the basis, the right basis of the science, which is mind. And mind will then be that which determines sowing and reaping. I love how she says it. And let them apply to the waiting grave, the curving sickle of mind's eternal circle. You can hear that eternal circle, that cybernetic circle, that curving sickle, huh? That's how she could talk about that cybernetic circle of mind will determine seed time and harvest. Oh, that's quite exciting. Then we go on and she says, the mariner will have dominion over the atmosphere and the great deep, over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. So now she looks at the mariner and says, all right, the mariner will have dominion over the atmosphere and the great deep, over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. She says, well, if the elements of being are going to change, it's not only going to change seed time and harvest and putting it on its right basis of the divine mind, but it's also going to change the mariner. He's going to have a whole different way of looking at his experience. He's now going to have dominion over the atmosphere in the water. You know, that he will go out from a different standpoint. And it's here in Unity of Good, Seed Time and Harvest, where she says, Jesus taught us to walk over, not into or with, the currents of matter or mortal mind. His teachings beard the lion in their dens. He turned the water into wine. He commanded the winds. He healed the sick, all in direct opposition to human philosophy and so-called natural science. He annulled the laws of matter, showing them to be laws of mortal mind, not God. Do you hear how the mariner is going to change? He's going to do what Jesus did. Huh? He'll take the standpoint of that mind, which is God, in divine science, which shows that it is outside, as the elements change from matter into mind, that the mariner is going to change. He isn't going to be a slave to the atmosphere in the water, a slave to the winds in the great deep. He is going to have dominion over them. And that's how Jesus did. He walked over the currents of matter through mind, huh? That it was that mind's control of the mental and the physical. And that mind is in control, in direct opposition to what was called, she said, natural science. It will be in what will happen is the direct opposite of what the mariner is doing today when he goes out from that ever operative principle, which is mind. You know, it's interesting when she says that the spiritual adhesion and traction and cohesion. No, a spiritual adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They say in science that adhesion and cohesion give that buoyancy. And you see that buoyancy force, and attraction is the gravitation. So gravitation, when you walk over, you can hear how he walked on the forces of mind when he walked over the water. Because the false laws of gravitation in matter pull you down. It's that attraction that would want to pull him down. But it's the adhesion and cohesion that keep you up. It's the buoyancy force. And so, therefore, Jesus, by walking on the forces of mind, saw that that mind was gravitation, that gravitational force worked with him through the adhesion and cohesion, the buoyancy of mind. See, he was treading on mind forces, and he knew it. Not on the forces of matter, not on the so-called law of gravitation of matter, but on the law of gravitation of mind, that attraction of mind, which holds everything together through its adhesion and cohesion, through its buoyancy. And it's on that basis, on the forces of mind, he walked over matter. Then, for the last point, she takes us from metaphysics to science, and to science including metaphysics, when she says that the astronomer will no longer look up to the stars. That's metaphysics, huh? We know, as an astronomer, we no need to look up to the stars. We don't have to identify with mind. We don't have to always say, I am the idea of mind. I am the idea of intelligence. I am the idea of law. Where we feel we have to somehow identify within our mentality with mind. But the astronomer will look out from the stars upon the universe. We will look out from science, huh? From that standpoint of science. We will look out from mind, out from spirit, out from soul, out from principle, out from life, out from truth, out from love. And then science, including metaphysics. And the florist will find his flower before its seed. That's that whole teachings of that science itself, the eighth day, that being is. You know, the tone of the eighth day, it seems to be indicated in the Bible at Genesis 2, 4, and 5, where it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. And the Lord God hath not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. That there was a time when there wasn't this from metaphysics to science going on. But there was a time when one could go out from science, including metaphysics. You see, that's the eighth day. These are the generations. That's that being. That's where our identity already is a fact and already fulfilled before it looked like it has gone through these thousand-year periods. So you see, the florist will find his flower before its seed, that our identity is already fulfilled. The flower is there before it has to go through seed time and harvest, before it has to grow through the thousand-year periods. And so we know that when we go out from science, that includes metaphysics, that being includes the becoming, and that what we see, that being is showing through what we call evolution or the becoming, that the allness of God, divine science, the allness of God and the nothingness of the belief that anything else is going on beside God. That's what's being proven through the becoming. As we've seen then that the first thousand-year period of mind handles the belief of that anything else is going on besides mind. And the second thousand-year period of spirit handles the belief that anything else is going on besides spirit. And the third thousand-year period of soul handles the belief coming from the second record of creation that anything else is going on besides soul. And so the 4,000-year period and the 5,000-year period and the 6,000-year period and the 7,000-year periods of principle, life, truth, and love handled the belief that anything else is going on besides principle, life, truth, and love. And so that being is really showing through the becoming, the allness of God and the nothingness of nothing is made plain, huh? So here we have then that our identity has been established and is established in pre-established perfection, and it has always been there before it looks like we have gone through these thousand-year periods. All right, so that's principle mind.